places. And I'm going to talk about surrogate tapping, or proxy tapping as we some people call it. And really what we mean by that is tapping on yourself for the benefit of someone else in another space or another place or another time. And we all go, initially when we hear about it, well, that's well weird. You know, when I first heard about surrogate tapping, you know, EFT was weird enough for me. You know, it was really, I have a Cambridge physics degree, and I worked for a long time as an exploration geophysicist, and then I did an MBA, and I worked in all the corporate wearing suits thing with people I then and now call wankers. That maybe doesn't translate enough for Americans, but I've been through all of that. So people tapping on their faces and their emotions change? No, that's just too weird. But it works. But even though EFT kind of took over everything and like really put all my time, effort and energy into EFT, surrogate tapping, that was just too weird. That was for the intuitives and the psychics and the people with all these extra abilities, and that wasn't for me. So we come to, I think it was the summer of, I think it was about 2007 or 8, and Gary ran something in Denver called EFT Boot Camp, and it was filmed, and it became the Mastering EFT DVD set. And those of you who've seen that or got that will know that he put the EFT masters in groups of three on a panel and then fired questions at us in front of an audience of 300 people. And I was on one of the later panels. The people on the earlier panels, they got lovely questions like, describe the movie technique, or what do we mean by chasing the pain? And so comes to my panel, and I'm waiting for my question from Gary. And he looks at me and he looks at his list and he says, tell me about surrogate tapping. And I'm going, oh, shit. Because I'd never actually done any surrogate tapping. But I kind of recovered pretty well. And I told a story about one of my students who had done some tapping for her little girl. And she'd called me about her little... She had three daughters and the youngest was about two. And she said, my two-year-old, she's developed this whole thing about water. In the morning when I fill the tea kettle at the sink, she'll run screaming out of the room. She won't go anywhere near the paddling pool, and she's a complete nightmare at bath time. What do I do? You know, can I tap with her? And I thought, well, two's a bit young. I said, you know, I've never done this, Rachel, but how about you try this surrogate tapping thing? Just go sit near her maybe when she's asleep and just talk as if you were her and tap on yourself. Anyway, a few days later, Rachel calls me. She said, I did that, and I did it for about 20 minutes, and no trouble at breakfast. She's in the paddling pool with her sisters. We can't get her out of the bath. The whole thing just completely gone. And I went, ooh, that's cool. But still not for me. Now I know what to tell mothers of small children. And then I started rewriting my training materials, training programs. And I wanted to bring in an exercise to teach people how to do borrowing benefits and how to give the borrowing benefits instructions. Now, popular misconception about borrowing benefits is it has to be the same issue. You know, like if you're anxious, you need to tap along with someone who's anxious, or if you feel abandonment, it's about, you know. And I wanted to sort of blow that one out the water and say, no, you can borrow benefits from anybody tapping for anything. Doesn't have to be the same. And I also had all these animals people going, why do you tap for animals? Can you tap on animals? What do I do? And I thought, right, I'm going to shut up the animals people. And I'm going to teach people that you can borrow benefits from anything. I'm going to have a group, and I'm going to have somebody role play their pet. Yeah? And my whole aim of this was to teach how to give the borrowing benefits instructions and how to run an EFT group. I had zero expectation that anything was going to change for the pet. Well, the first time we did this, my friend, great friend Linda Wood was there, with a group, and a young woman called Sue. She role-played a cat called Oscar. Now, Oscar wasn't even her cat. He was lodging with her because Oscar's parents had split up and they'd both gone to live in places where Oscar couldn't go. And so Oscar had come to live with Sue, and Sue already had five cats. And Oscar was a very elderly cat, and, you know, yes, she took him in as a favour, but she wasn't that welcoming. And Oscar, the very elderly Siamese, and he had a tremor in his tail, and he was stumbling as he walked. And Sue had taken him to the vet, and the vet said, "Oh, it's something neurological, nothing we can do for him. He's an elderly cat, he's on his way out, just keep him warm and comfortable. I don't think he's going to be with us much longer." So Sue role-played Oscar. And at first she just starts with, oh, and the other thing was Sue's five cats wouldn't have anything to do with Oscar. She had to feed him in a separate room. There was lots of hissing and spitting and unpleasantness. So we started tapping with, even though my tail shakes, and, you know, just general things that were going on. And then things started to come to Sue. Thoughts, feelings, memories, memory of being like a very little kitten on the streets and other big cats hissing and chasing. And we tap through all sorts. So we tap through, that man doesn't like me, that man kicked me and threw me out. We tap through all of these things. And Sue comes to a lovely feeling of calm. Yeah, and I just go back to teaching the group about borrowing benefits. Anyway, a few months later, I meet Sue. She'd got home that night, Oscar's tail, straight as a die, no more tremor in the tail. Oscar and her five cats all curled up together, no more fighting. Well, Oscar, who the vet had said is not much longer for this world, Oscar lived another 5 years until he was a very elderly cat. And he stayed with Sue. He never went back to his other people, and she loved him very much. So Oscar taught me something. And then in every group, every level two group I did, we did this tapping for animals, having someone in the group role play their pet. And over and over and over again, amazing changes happened in animals. And this kept saying to me, there's really something here. Because, you know, I have a physics degree, and a lot of science is more like a sort of a scientism than a science. People, it's science. Because what true science does, true science sees a phenomena that can't be explained. And true science goes, ooh, that's interesting. What's happening there? Ooh, can we do that again? Ooh, let's play about with it. Whereas sort of scientism goes, that didn't happen. Or worse, charlatans. So I started to mess about with this, play about with this, because I thought two things. First of all, if something's happening, how do we make it? How do we get so that we can make it more consistent? How do we get more skillful at this? How do we do it better? Because let me just ask, how many people here have tried some surrogate tapping? Okay, how many have consistently had success? How many have tried and either not got a result or sometimes got a result? Yeah, okay. So we'd like to get more skillful at this. We'd like to, just as with normal EFT working with people, we learn the techniques of application of EFT. We learn how to get more skillful at how to get results more consistently than just, you know, some of the time not. So that's what I put my attention to. How do we get better? This certainly works, this surrogate tapping. How do we get better at it? And what's the etiquette of it? And I came up with a process which I now teach, because one of the things I first thought about surrogate tapping was that's for the real weirdos, you know, that's for the really intuitive people. That's for the people who have these special abilities. That's not for, you know, the likes of me. And yet I've found that when we use this helpful process of surrogate tapping, everyone can do it. Even people who say, oh, I have no imagination, I have no intuition, I don't get any energy stuff, they get into it. So it's a really simple process. And just like, you know, in doing normal EFT, I have a kind of an understanding of the process of what's happening as we tap. You know, when we start out just tapping, the first thing tapping does is it's calming. It takes the edge off something. And then we can be very broad and general, or just tapping with no words at all, because the tapping is just starting to smooth the sort of surface turbulence of the energy system. The next thing that happens when we tap, and you'll all have experienced this, is connecting. You might start tapping with something where you don't really know what it's about. And then up into your mind pops a picture, a memory, a person. You're connecting to the problem. You're also, when you're tapping with someone else, you're connecting with each other, don't you? When you sit and tap with someone, you feel that connection between you. And you are connecting, when you're being the helper, you're connecting to your intuition. So tapping is calming, then it's connecting, and then the third stage of what we're doing is clearing. And this is when we're doing EFT, we get into the details, the sensory details of a memory or experience or a trigger. And then the final stage of my process with EFT is completing, testing, integrating, taking the change out into the world. And there's something similar going on with surrogate tapping. Because with surrogate tapping, we need to connect with the person or animal that we're tapping with remotely. To be able to do that, we need to calm ourselves. To do skillful surrogate tapping, you need to get yourself out of the way. You have to be able to offer healing with complete unattachment as to whether it's taken or not. Where's my prop? It's like if this is healing, you need to be able to just stand and hold it out. And maybe they take it and maybe they don't. Animals nearly, in my experience, nearly always take it. And animals are great to learn this stuff from, even if you're not an animals person. Humans are more complex. But we need to still be able to stand and just hold it. Because if we have an agenda, I mean, if I want somebody to change, to heal, so that I'm no longer feeling guilty or anxious, that's my stuff and my agenda. Because if I need someone to change, I'm going to sort of take this apple and I'm going to, here, eat that. I'm going to try and ram it down her throat. And what's that going to be like?
I'm not going to like it.
She's not, no. And if you try that with animals, they just go harumph and run off. It's like my rabbit, you know, I have a house rabbit, Dan de Leon. The greatest treat for Dan is a grape. But if I have transgressed the unwritten code of bunny ethics and I offer Dan a grape, he'll go, harumph, I'm not eating your damn grape, and run off. So the way we offer it, and we need to offer surrogate tapping, not with a, I'll fix you, or here, you do that, then I don't have to worry about you and I don't have to feel guilty. You change. It's for your own good. You know, if we're offering, like we're pushing it down someone's throat, no. It's not very nice to be on the receiving end of that. So we need to offer surrogate tapping from a neutral place, from a kind place. So the first thing we have to do is to be able to get ourselves out of the way, to be able to get out of or work through or clear our own agenda, our own need for the other person to change. And so my process, you can write down, here's the whole thing. I haven't got a handout, but there is a lot of stuff on the articles page of my website. And if you pick up one of the free personal purple pencils on the table back there, it's got the website on. Lots of free audios and articles, and there's an animals page on the site as well. So just write down, talk about, talk to, talk as. These are the three stages of skillful surrogate tapping. So in talk about, we tap and we talk about the other person in the third person. He, she, we talk about them. And we tell the whole story of what it's about, who this person or animal is. So we might start, Sam is a small brown dog and he lives with Susan. And I like to keep things, you know, just one little chunk at a time. So I'll just tap around. Sam's a small brown dog. He lives with Susan. Susan loves Sam very much. And Sam loves Susan. And Sam's a small brown dog. And then I start to bring in what's going on. Sam gets really upset when Susan goes to work. Sam hates to be in the house on his own. And sometimes he cries and barks, and sometimes he chews things. And Sam hates to be in the house on his own. And so I bring in the next piece. And then the story might then go on to be about Susan and why she has to go to work and all the things that have happened. A story can go all over the place. And the story might be about your part in the story as well. So the story helps to get you out of the way. It also invites the connection. Now, I said I have a physics degree, and I will try and explain my understanding of what's going on. We live in a distance-time world. Four-dimensional space of distance and time. A four-dimensional reciprocal transfer of that creates a four-dimensional frequency of space. If you don't understand this, don't bother. But essentially, we have a world of space and time and a world of vibration. You know all this anyway. You don't need to know the physics of it. And the two are reflections of each other. I like to think of these as the physical domain in which we are all separate. We are all in separate bodies, in separate spaces and separate minds. And the spiritual domain in which we are all connected. We are all overlapping. So the spirit domain, to me, the frequency domain, is like one great big party. And everybody and everything's there. So as we tap, as we open up slower brain waves, we open up a window between these two worlds. I've done a lot of work with EFT and brainwaves, and particularly I've seen that EFT opens up the very slow brainwaves, the delta brainwaves. Scientists think these are only seen in deep sleep, but actually they're seen in any form of healing, clairvoyance, mediumship, prayer, any form of transcendence. EFT opens that up. Yeah. So in this talk about stage, it's like we're at one great big party and we're talking about someone or an animal or a person. Now, if you were at a great big party, something like this, and you hear your name, you're going to go and listen. You're going to listen, aren't you? You might be a little bit unsure, but you're certainly going to prick up your attention. Now, if you hear somebody talking about you, and they're talking about you with kindness. They're talking about you with a heartful kindness. You're probably going to go a bit closer and listen in. Now, there may be things in that conversation, in what they're talking about, that are useful for you. And you might just take those away and step back. Or you might go and really join in that conversation, become a part of it, learn things from it. This is what's happening in surrogate tapping. We are allowing this connection in the spirit domain, but the connection is two-sided. It's not ramming the apple down their throat. It's inviting connection. And for someone to want to connect with you, they need to feel safe. They need to feel accepted and honoured. So when I start tapping, Sam is a small brown dog and Sam lives with Susan. I'm just really kind of introducing myself. I'm sort of saying hello to Sam so that he might join in, so that he might connect with that conversation. Is this making sense? Yeah. Okay, so then as we get into the talking about, starting by talking about, gets yourself out of the way, introduces the cast of characters and invites connection. When we kind of sense that connection, and some people really sense it, or others, it just starts to happen. I'll start by telling the story about Sam and about Susan and about everything. And at some point, I just find myself talking to Sam. It often happens just as a natural switch, and it will be, "Oh, Sam, it's so sad for you when Susan leaves. You really get so sad and you cry and cry, or sometimes you get so bored and angry you chew and chew, and it must be really awful for you." So I'm just sort of sympathising with Sam, empathising. And then I might sort of go, "And I wonder what happened, Sam. I wonder what happened for you that you get so anxious and so scared when you're in the house on your own. I wonder what happened, Sam. Something must have happened, Sam. When you were very little, when you were a little puppy, something must have happened." And then I kind of leave a gap, I leave a space. And sometimes I just get an image in my mind. Or sometimes I get just a knowing, or I might get some words or something, like I just get, "Mom." And then I sort of kind of carry on talking to Sam. Now, when you're talking to an animal through surrogate tapping, never tell them what to do. You might say, "Sam, it's okay, you're perfectly safe. You don't need to be anxious. Just calm down and go to sleep." No. Animals have taught me a lot about skillful EFT. And when you lead, when you make suggestions, when you put words in their mouth, nope, they just ignore it. Yeah? As does the animal part of a person. Their thinking mind might take it on. They might be compliant and repeat what you're giving them. But you've got to kind of convince that deeper mind. Or so maybe I get, "Mom," I go, "Oh, Sam, what happened? Did they take you away from your mum when you were too little?" Now, at this point, I'm talking to Sam. Sometimes I will just slip into speaking as Sam. And I might just get some sort of image, like I'm in a box. I can't see in a box. "Where's Mum? Mum, where is everybody? I'm on my own. I'm in a box. What's happening? And when you go into speaking as the animal, it tends to become quite incoherent. If you're speaking as the animal and using human intellectual words, you're not in the animal. So we tap speaking as the animal when they open the door to let us in. And this is the etiquette piece of this process of surrogate tapping. Have you ever talked about somebody? Have you ever told a story about somebody? Yes, of course you have. Well, in the talk about stage, we're just doing that and we're just adding tapping. Have you ever had an imaginary dialogue with somebody in your head? Yes, of course you have. In the talk to stage, we're just doing that and adding tapping. But to step into somebody's energy, to speak as somebody, that requires their invitation. That requires them to open that door to you. So this is partly why the talk about talk to, they're a kind of a sneak up into stepping into the energy. Now, with animals, it is possible to step straight into the energy. They just allow it. You know, you just go stand with this healing anywhere near an animal, whoomp, it's gone. Humans are not that straightforward. And often they don't want to let you in. But the good news is the talk about talk to are often sufficient. You don't need to actually step into their energy for this to be effective. Now, I've talked quite a bit about this. So I'd like to demonstrate it. And I'll just ask, how much time have we got now?
19 minutes.
19. Okay, great, we've got time. So does somebody know of an animal which is anxious or has a behavioural problem? Oh, yes, look at that. Isn't it different from asking for human volunteers? Yeah? Right. What's yours?
One of my cats has a limp and I don't know why.
Okay, that's a physical problem. Can we... what's yours?
I have two cats.
Yeah?
One of the cats is very well fed, but he's desperate about food.
Okay, come on up. Now, everyone else, you can borrow benefits for yours. Yeah? So just picture now in your mind the animal. Picture the behavior, what you see, what you hear. Just focus on it and then tap along with us. So this is Stefan. Hello, Stefan.
Hello.
And your cat's name?
Barado.
Barado. Barado. Barado. Okay, so we're just going to start, and I like to just start and let the story emerge. So, Barado's a cat.
Barado's a cat.
Big cat, small cat, black cat, brown cat.
He's a short-haired, medium-sized grey cat.
So, Barado's a short-haired, little grey cat. Barado's a grey cat, and Barado lives with Stefan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and do you love him?
Yeah.
Yeah. And does he love you?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. So Barado's a cat. Mm-hmm. Grey cat. Yeah. And I love him. Just so you can just say that.
Barado's a grey cat and I love him.
Yeah. And has Barado been with you long?
It's been 3 years.
3 years. Yeah.
Pretty long. He was a year old when I got him.
Yeah. So Barado's a grey cat.
Barado's a grey cat.
Yeah. He's been with me 3 years.
He's been with me 3 years.
Yeah. Barado's a grey cat.
Barado's a grey cat.
Yeah. Just tap along silently, folks. You don't need to repeat. Yeah. He's been with me 3 years.
He's been with me 3 years.
Yeah. And how old was he then when he came to you?
He was 1 year old.
He was 1 year old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's been with me 3 years.
And he's been with me 3 years.
He's a grey cat.
He's a grey cat.
And I love him.
Yeah, I love him.
Barado lives with me.
Barado lives with me.
And I love him.
And I love him.
Yeah. Okay, and tell us a bit more about Barado. What's the behavior?
Well, he's a very active cat. He's playful. But the behavior is, you know, he gets fed well.
Yeah, he gets fed.
And he's, you know, he's not, like, skinny. He's not fat, but he's...
Yeah.
He looks like a cat that's been well-fed.
Barado's a well-fed cat.
He's a well-fed cat.
Yeah.
But he is constantly desperate for food.
He's constantly desperate for food.
Right.
Yeah. And when he's desperate for food, how does he show it?
If we're eating food,
he
will try his damnedest to steal it.
Yeah.
And he's quick and sneaky.
Yeah.
So,
okay, Barado's a well-fed cat.
Well, Barado's a well-fed cat.
Yeah. But if we're eating food...
But if we're eating food...
He'll do his damnedest.
He'll do his damnedest.
He's quick and sneaky.
He's quick and sneaky.
Barado will do everything he can.
He'll do everything he can.
To get more food.
To get more food.
Yeah. No food is enough food for Barado.
No food is enough food for Barado.
Barado always wants more food.
He always wants more food.
Yeah. He wants our food.
He wants our food.
Yeah. He wants the other cat's food.
He'll try and take the other cat's food.
He'll try and take the other cat's food.
We have to guard it.
Yeah. Barado always wants more food.
He always wants more food.
He always wants more food. Yeah. Barado always.
And when we bring out the food, he like runs at it with a desperation.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's food.
Barado, he runs with desperation. Yeah. Oh, it's food.
Yeah.
It's food. Gotta get that food.
Gotta get that food.
Desperate for food.
Desperate for food.
Gotta get it.
And if you get near him, he'll growl.
Yeah. Gotta fight for it. Gotta growl.
Gotta fight for it.
Growl. Yeah. Gotta get that food. Gotta fight for that food.
Gotta fight for that
food. Desperate for that food.
Desperate for that food.
Yeah. Now, what do you know about Barado's first year before he came to you?
Don't. Got it from a pound.
Yeah, Barado.
Animal shelter.
Barado came from the pound.
Barado came from the pound.
From the animal shelter.
From the animal shelter.
And we don't know what happened to Barado.
We don't know what happened to Barado.
Before he got to the animal shelter.
That's right. Before he got to the animal shelter.
Yeah. We don't know what his life was like.
We don't know what his life was like.
Yeah. But he got to the shelter.
He got to the shelter.
So somebody didn't want him. He didn't
somebody
have a home.
Didn't want him.
Yeah, he didn't have a home.
Didn't have a home.
And in the shelter, what was the shelter like?
It's a pretty nice shelter. I mean, the animal's in cages, but they have a visiting room, so you can take the animal to a room and play with the animal. But there's a lot of cats in there.
Yeah, so Barado came from the pound.
Barado came from the pound.
Lots of cats in there.
Lots of cats in there.
Yeah, he came, we went to the pound.
Went to the pound.
And we found him.
And we found him.
Chose him.
And we chose him.
Took him home.
And we took him home.
Fed him.
Fed him.
Fed him, yeah. But we don't know anything.
We don't know anything.
About Barado's first year.
That's right, about Barado's first year.
Yeah, we don't know anything.
We don't know anything.
About Barado's first year.
About Barado's first year.
Now we're going to talk to Barado. So Barado.
Barado.
There's never enough food.
There's never enough food.
Never enough food for you.
Never enough food for you.
You're always desperate.
You're always desperate.
Yeah, you always want more.
You always want more.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, Barado.
And I am wondering, Barado.
What it was like for you.
What it was like for you.
Before you came to us.
Before you came to us.
Yeah, what was it like for you?
What was it like for you?
Before you came to us.
Before you came to us.
I'm guessing you must have been hungry.
I'm guessing you must have been hungry.
Yeah. I'm guessing there wasn't much food.
I'm guessing there wasn't much food.
I'm guessing you had to fight for it.
I'm guessing you had to fight for it.
Yeah. I wonder what it was like for you, Barado.
I wonder what it was like for you, Barado.
When you were a little kitten.
When you were a little kitten.
Before you came to us.
Before you came to us.
And just pause and just notice what comes to your mind as we're tapping.
I get the sense of him being outdoors, and he was like under a parked car or something.
Yeah.
And he would, food was short, not much around.
Yeah.
And he had to like snatch it.
Yeah, I'm picturing you, Barado.
I'm picturing you, Barado.
You're under a car.
You're under a car.
Out on the streets.
Out in the streets.
Yeah. Not much food.
Not much food.
Yeah. I'm guessing you don't have a home.
Yeah, I'm guessing you don't have a home.
And you don't have staff.
And you're smaller.
You're small, yeah. You're small and you don't now have a home.
And you don't have a home.
Yeah. Now I'm just going to invite you to just step into speaking as Barado. What's it like for you, Barado? You're small. Under the car, what's that like?
It's like intense.
Intense.
No, tense.
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 Yeah.
Tense with.
It's like survival. Like, you
survive.
Know, just,
yeah.
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 Like,
got to be.
I got to eat.
I've got to eat.
I don't know how I'm going
to
eat.
I've got to eat. I've got to survive.
I've got to survive.
Got to be tense.
I don't know where tense. The next food is.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't know where the next food is. Hmm. Got to find the food.
Got to find the food.
Got to fight. Got to defend the food. Fight for the food.
Fight for the food.
Yeah.
Got to be quick.
Got to be quick. Yeah.
Look for opportunities.
Got to look for opportunities.
Look for opportunities.
I've got to be quick.
Got to be quick.
I've got to be clever.
Got to be clever.
Yeah, got to be quick.
Got to be quick.
Got to be clever.
Got to be clever.
Got to get the food.
Got to get the food.
Yeah. Tense.
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 Not enough.
It's not enough.
It's not enough.
It's not enough. Got to find the food.
Got to find the food.
Got to be quick.
Got to be quick.
Got to be clever.
Got to be clever.
That's what it's like.
That's what it's like.
On the streets.
On the streets. On the streets.
Under the car.
Under the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm hiding.
Hiding.
Until I can find something.
Hiding. Hiding from. Hiding
other,
from.
Other animals.
Yeah.
Cats, dogs.
Yeah, I'm just small.
I'm small. It's like it's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous and I'm small. Are you scared?
Scared.
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 Scared. Dangerous.
Dangerous.
Dogs.
Dogs. Cats. Bigger cats.
Bigger cats. I've got to be smart.
Got to be smart.
Got to be quick.
Got to be really quick.
Yeah.
Got to sneak up on it.
Got to sneak. Yeah. Yeah, got to sneak up. Scared.
Scared.
Got to fight.
Got to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like tense stress.
Tense. Tense stress. Stress.
Yeah.
It's tense stress. Tense stress.
Tense stress.
Tense stress.
Yeah, never, not enough.
Not enough. Tense not enough. Stress. Not enough. Okay,
and
just
desperate.
Take a breath, Baranda. What's it like to remember that now? Yeah.
Sort of fading some, like I'm glad it's not like that anymore.
So it's feeling. It was like that and it's fading a bit. Is there anything about that that still bothers you, that street time?
Well, there's another cat. There's still another cat.
It's another cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what is it about that? Annie, aren't we going
like
to 11?
We are. I just realized I had this on 45.
Okay, right.
Sorry.
It's all right, yeah. Another cat. What is it?
Yeah, it's like competition.
Yeah, okay. That other cat.
Other cat.
He's competition.
He's competition.
Because there's never enough.
Because there's never enough.
Never enough. That other cat. What's his name?
Cat. Suka.
Suka.
Mm-hmm. Now, Barada's the alpha.
Okay,
and
so
Brada walks. If Suka's eating and Brada walks over, he just push Suka out of the way.
So you can push Suka out of the way.
Yeah,
I can push Suka out of the way.
I can push Suka out of the way.
Yeah, but it's still competition.
But it's still competition. It's
still
like
competition.
I have food and you have food and I want your food too.
I have to get your food.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to get your food.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm quick and I'm clever.
Yep.
And I'm the alpha.
I'm the alpha.
I'll
except
push
for those
you
humans,
out the way.
They're big, more alpha.
Those humans, yeah.
They get in my way.
Those humans.
They stop me.
They stop. They want to stop me. Yeah, but I'm quick and clever.
That's right.
Yeah, those humans.
Right. They keep trying to stop me.
They
but
keep
I can,
trying to stop me. Yeah.
If I'm fast enough.
But those humans, do they bring the food?
But they also bring the food.
They bring the food. Yeah, they bring the food.
They do bring the food.
And they bring it every day.
They bring it every day.
They bring the food.
Yeah.
Those humans.
Yeah.
They bring the food.
They do bring the food.
They bring it every day.
They bring it every day. Twice a day.
They bring it for you.
Yeah.
They bring it for
Suka.
Suka. Yeah.
They bring us both food.
They bring us both food.
Yeah.
So just,
I want more, though.
I want more. Yeah. Yeah, I want more.
I want more.
I want more because...
Because I never had enough.
I never had enough then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never had enough then.
Never had enough then.
Never had enough then. So just go back to then. What is it about then that's still
I was always
bothering
hungry.
Me? So I was always hungry.
I was always hungry.
Yeah.
Under there was the never car. Enough.
Hiding under the car.
hiding under the car.
Scared.
Scared.
And always hungry.
Always hungry.
Always hungry.
Always hungry.
And I'm here now.
And I'm here now.
I've got staff.
I've got staff.
They bring food.
Yeah, they bring food.
That's yeah. Good. I got staff.
I got staff now.
I got a place.
I got a place.
I got staff.
I got staff.
Yeah. But then, I was always hungry.
Then I was always hungry.
I was always hungry.
Always hungry.
Hiding.
Hiding.
Scared.
Scared.
Always hungry.
Always hungry.
Never knew when the food had come.
Never knew
when Never knew when the big food.
Never knew the big food, right?
Now?
And now there's staff, food every day.
The staff bring food every day.
Yeah.
Twice a day.
My humans bring food twice a day.
They bring food twice a day.
That's right.
But then I was always hungry.
But then I was always hungry.
Always hungry.
Always hungry.
Like, what would it feel like, hungry? What was it feel like for you, Perodo?
It's sort of empty.
Empty.
Pain feeling.
Empty pain feeling.
Yeah.
Empty pain feeling.
Empty pain feeling.
Hiding scared.
Hiding scared.
An empty pain feeling.
Empty pain feeling.
Yeah. Always empty pain feeling.
Always empty pain feeling.
Yeah. Always empty pain feeling.
Always empty pain feeling.
Empty pain feeling.
Empty pain feeling.
Okay, and just take a breath, Barojo. What's it like now, when you remember that time? Remember that feeling?
It's feeling older now, like it's further in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so being, you know, home now and it's feeding time, humans bringing food.
Mm.
What's that like for you now?
It's good. It's good.
Yeah. So what's it like for you to see the other cat? You're both getting food.
More neutral. You know, it's more feels more okay.
Feels more okay. Yeah. So it's okay for
Suka
to get food.
Yes, yeah,
it's okay for you to get food. Is there anything about that still bothers you?
No, actually, it's feeling pretty okay now that he can get, because I get my food, he gets his food, we get our food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get enough food?
I'm getting, I would like a little more, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so see the humans eating, and what's it like now for you to see the humans eating? Is it okay for them to get food?
I like their food better.
Yeah. Yeah,
their food smells like really good.
And your food?
My food's pretty good too. But theirs just is more variety and more different.
So you'd like to just keep reminding them?
Well, it's like, it's like if they have like a chicken or something, you know. Mm. I really like that chicken.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe I can sneak up and grab one.
Okay. So even though...
Even though...
I like their food better.
I like their food better.
Maybe I do get enough food now.
Maybe I do get enough food
Maybe
now.
Maybe the food does always come.
Maybe the food always does come.
The food always does come every day.
Food always comes every day.
Every day the food comes.
Every day, twice a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause what?
But their food's a bit of a treat.
Yeah, I like a bit of a treat. I like their food.
Yeah,
I like their food.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're clever, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
You're clever. Do you think there's ways you could find to that they would give you their food rather than having to steal it?
They never give me the food.
They never give me the food. I've got to steal it.
I have to steal it.
I have to steal it.
I have to steal it. If I want that, I have to steal
it. If I want it, I have to steal it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're never going to give me that.
No.
Yeah. I have to steal it.
I have to steal it.
Yeah. They never give me that.
They never give me their food.
No, they never give me their food.
They never give me their food.
Yeah, I have to steal it.
I have to steal it.
Yeah, I like to steal it.
I like to steal it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's.
I like to steal it.
It's like.
Yeah. I'm the alpha.
I'm the alpha, and it's like it's kind of like hunting.
It's hunting. Yeah.
You know, it's like a challenge.
Oh, you like hunting?
It's a challenge. Yeah.
Yes. Hunting. It's like hunting.
You have to sneak up on your prey.
Sneak up, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, if they just come and give it to you, that's not much fun, is it?
Yeah.
Like hunting.
hunting.
Got to sneak up their food.
Yeah.
That's hunting.
That's hunting.
That's hunting. I can hunt their food.
I can hunt.
I like hunting.
Yeah, I like hunting.
Yeah, just take a breath now, Veroka. Home and... What's it like now? What are you experiencing now?
There's a fun contest going on.
Mm.
You know, because I try and steal... And they had the spray bottle, which I don't like, but it's like a, you know, can I do it before they spray me? You know, is that kind of?
So do you?
It's like a contest. It's like a contest.
Yeah, it's like it's like a contest, like a game.
It's like a game, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe these humans need to find some other games to play with you.
Yeah. Maybe so.
Yeah. what would you like to tell the humans? What would you like them to know?
I need more challenge in my life. My life is
because your first
pleasant,
year,
but I like.
Yeah, right. Challenge. So when you were little, you didn't like the hungry and scared,
but
you
lots had of challenge.
You had lots of challenge, and now you're kind of safe and warm and comfortable and lots to eat. But
you miss the challenge.
Miss the challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss the challenge.
Miss the challenge.
Could do more with more challenge.
Could do more with more challenge.
These humans.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like them to know.
Yeah.
I could do with more challenge.
Could do with more challenge.
I'm a smart cat.
I'm a smart cat.
Smart street cat.
Smart street cat.
Yeah, I like a challenge.
I like challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like to stay smart.
I like to stay smart.
Yeah, and fast.
Fast. Yeah, keep my instincts tough.
Absolutely. You wouldn't want to get flabby, would you?
No.
No.
Not like Suka. He just lays around.
Oh, he just lays around. He's flabby. He eats too much. Yeah? Yeah, I don't want to get flabby. Got to stay smart. Because I like a challenge.
I like a challenge.
Yeah, I really like a challenge.
Yep.
I'm a smart street cat.
Yeah, smart street cat.
And I really like a challenge.
I like challenges.
Yeah. Like challenge more than food. Or as much as food.
They're great to put those together.
Right? Yeah, I like a food challenge. I like a food challenge. I
like a food challenge.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the hunt. I like
the hunt.
And I like the contest.
Yeah.
You know. So I had to beat out other cats for the food. And
yeah.
It was hard, but it was also, I liked it.
I like it. I like the challenge.
I like the challenge.
Okay, just take a breath. What's happening now? What are you experiencing in your body now?
It's shifted from a feeling of desperation to a feeling of fun challenge. Like, you know, I don't want to give up the challenge, but I'm not feeling so desperate about food now. But it's like, yeah, I still want the challenge.
Okay. So just come back to Stefan.
Mm-hmm.
And Stefan, just picture him. Picture Barodo. Picture your cat. And how does he look? How are you picturing him in your mind's eye now?
Well, I have more understanding.
Mm-hmm. But how are you picturing him?
More compassionately, with understanding. You know, it's so annoying how he's like constantly trying to steal your food. It's like, get away from my food here. So
something's changed in Stefan. But when you make a picture of Barodo, how does he look?
Oh. He looks more relaxed, but with this sort of alert, okay, where's the next challenge? You know, there's this sense of... Yeah, this sort of that playful energy.
So there's a playful energy and a love of a challenge, but not so you're not seeing the same tense desperation.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when we've stepped into another's energy, we need to come back to ourselves. So just tap. I'm Stefan.
I'm Stefan.
I'm Stefan.
I'm Stefan.
Barodo's my cat.
Barodo's my cat.
I'm Stefan.
I'm Stefan.
Yeah. That's me.
That's me.
I'm Stefan.
I'm Stefan.
I'm Stefan.
I'm
just bring yourself back to your own energy. Okay, well, just stay up here a moment. You saw the whole process there. And sometimes we use, you know, the whole three stages of the process. Sometimes you may go back and forth between the two. But I like to start by telling the story, the facts. And actually what I didn't bring in there, what I didn't ask Stefan, was what it was like for him. But in a way I didn't need to, because your sort of frustration at him stealing food, when you talk about him stealing food, that's going to tune in, bring in your piece of it. So the talk about is like It's like this invitation to Barodo to listen in, but it's also working on the patterns of energy within Stefan himself. And then there becomes a point where we talk to, we start to talk to him. And when in the talk to stage, first of all, sympathy, empathy. You must have been so scared, hiding under that car in the street, height so small, no home. You must have been so scared. So we're kind of just reflecting back what we have. And then we can ask some questions. And I wonder what it was like. I wonder what happened. Yeah? Or at that stage, we can also give information. We're not telling the animal what to do, but we can give information. For example, there's one, it's on my DVD set, the second one there. A woman, she has a very elderly dog. And when she said she wanted to tap for him, I'm going, oh no, you know, sometimes elderly dogs, it's their time to go. And we don't want to be holding on to them. But in this case, it was her mother's dog and her mother had died. And the dog had come to her and his hips were going. He couldn't walk properly. He couldn't do steps. And they were moving to a new place where there would be no steps. So there was packing boxes everywhere. And to the dog, the packing boxes were reminding the dog of when its first owner had died. So she put in some information. We're going to a new place, Rocky. There's no steps. There's a yard with grass, and there's no steps. So she's giving him information that he doesn't know. Because we can see the bigger picture. And like a dog when the owner's going to work, we can tell the animal where the owner is going and what they're doing and that they're coming home and they're going to the grocery store and they're coming home with food and all these things. Because the animal doesn't know what happens when the person leaves the house. And in a way, we were telling your cat, you know, you're here now. They bring the food twice a day. It always comes. So we're giving information. And when we move into the talking as, that's often where the emotion could come. And you felt the tension, didn't you? The tension, the fear, the always, yeah?
Yeah.
What was it? Do you want to say what the experience was like for you when you went into talk as?
I felt myself mm-hmm. under the car. You know, I felt like I was really in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I just felt like I was him, pretty much. You know, I was like,
yeah.
I could feel it.
Okay. And so then we tap for whatever, and all sorts of memories may come up. This one was just sort of a situation of being under the car, but sometimes there's like being taken from mum or cruelty or things that have happened. And we want to just tap through, as we would with a human, tap through the details of those. And then for testing, coming back to the present, coming back to the here and now, noticing what's different. And also noticing, are there things that the animal needs? So here, there's this need for challenge. And I think you really learnt something about him, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And learnt, you know, he's not just this fluffy little pet. He's this
He was actually proud. I had the sense that he was proud of his skill.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it was always a challenge, but I'm good.
Yeah.
That was
he's
a feeling.
He's a street smart survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a real need for challenge there in that cat.
Yeah.
So we've learnt things. We've cleared things. I'm going to have just 5 minutes for questions, question either for myself or Stefan. I'm also around for the whole of the rest of the time. And in the workshop on Monday, I will be teaching you how to do what Stefan and I have just done, because I think it's lovely to do this work in pairs. Because for Stefan, it meant you could then really go into being the animal, leaving me to manage the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I can ask the questions, which kind of... So it's a really nice thing to do surrogate tapping with two people. So any quick questions? Yes?
If you didn't want to do a physical problem, can you do surrogate tapping?
You can do surrogate tapping for physical problems. I just felt we didn't have the time today. But with a physical problem, you just start by telling the story. The story of what the problem is, when it started, what the vet said, the story can go anywhere about anything. And then you might find yourself talking to the animal and asking, I wonder what happened. What's this like for you? And then allowing some spaces for something to come back. And then you may slip into speaking as the animal. I just want to say a bit about humans and the ethics with humans. Yeah, you know, we can talk about somebody. We can talk to somebody. But talking as, we have to be invited in. And I remember a session with a lovely woman called Mary at a workshop like this. And Mary had a friend who was in the terminal stages of cancer. And Mary felt really bad because her friend lived. It was a long distance to travel. And Mary wanted to be at her bedside every day because this woman's husband just wasn't coping. And she was as well. She was afraid. She was lonely. She was in a lot of pain. But Mary couldn't get there. She could only visit like once a month. So this, but she'd phoned her friend and said, can we do surrogate tapping for you? And the friend had said, yes. So she had verbally, consciously given permission. But what happened when we started to tap? We told the whole story about their friendship, about the illness, about all sorts of things in the story. And then she started talking to her friend. You're in such pain. I can see your pain. I wonder what it's like for you. I wonder, you know, and talking to her with empathy. And then she tried to step into speaking as. And she just looked up at me and she said, the door's closed. And very often humans don't want to let you in, often because they don't want you to experience what they're suffering. They want to protect you from it. But simply we carried on more with the talk to, the talk about. At the end of the day, Mary phoned her friend. And her friend said, well, nothing's changed. I'm in pain. But everything's changed. I'm lying here. I'm calm. I'm peaceful. I'm no longer terrified. I'm no longer worrying about my husband. I feel peaceful. And I'm looking out at the window at the cherry blossom. Yeah. One more question, and then we've got a tea break. Okay.
So about a little bit more on tapping for the person. So if you're tapping surrogate for a person, then when you're exploring to the third step, you're saying you kind of like tap into
the... How can you tell if the door is open? If the door is open, you will naturally just find yourself speaking as them without even having consciously doing it. You'll just suddenly realize that, you see, in talking to, it can become a dialogue, and you'll start to find yourself just speaking the responses without thinking about it. If you're thinking about it and it feels forced, door ain't open. Yeah? Go back to talk to. Okay, I think we are out of time, so it's a break time.
Not yet. A couple of things.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you can talk to...